WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Most Americans now know where Somalia is and what some of its problems are, but few of us really understand how the way people communicate there affects what happens politically. Linguist Jeff Nunberg has been thinking about just that.
Until about 20 years ago, Somalia had a traditional oral culture. A small number of people were literate in Arabic, which was a liturgical language with something like the role of Latin in medieval Europe. But all discourse in the Somali language was carried out orally, in particular in the gabay, a form of poetry based on complex patterns of alliteration. Traditionally, the gabay is concerned with genealogy and the stories of clans and great battles, something like the chanson de geste of medieval France. But in the 20th century, it's become an important vehicle for political discussion as well. Each clan has its bards, people acknowledged as skillful composers of the gabay. And it's through the recitation of these poems that the clan leaders make their views on current events known to the people. Here's an example. This takes me to my old friend Francesco Antonucci, whom I ran into recently in France. In 1972, Antonucci headed up a group of Italian linguists and ethnographers who were asked by the military regime to develop a writing system for the Somali language. It was a difficult undertaking, both linguistically and politically. The mullahs objected to the impiety of writing in any language other than Arabic, and the team couldn't even use the Arabic alphabet for writing Somali, since it doesn't have any letters for vowels, and the Somali language has more than 20 distinct vowel sounds. Antonucci's team had to use the Roman alphabet, and this gave the mullahs further ammunition, since by a queer coincidence, the Somali word for the Roman alphabet is Ladin, which also means without religion in Arabic. Nonetheless, the government persisted. In October of 1972, they clapped all the mullahs in jail and dropped the new alphabet on the people. I mean this quite literally. Army helicopters circled the cities and the oases and dropped leaflets containing primers, A for apple, and so on. At the same time, they instituted a system of universal primary education, set up printing presses, commissioned a dictionary, and so forth. The expectation was that within a decade or so, the political and cultural discourse of Somalia would all be carried out in writing, as it is in all the nations of what we call the developed world. It never happened. It's true that most people can read and write Somali a bit, and there are newspapers in the language, but the important political and cultural discussions are still conducted through the oral exchange of gabays. This doesn't have anything to do with technological or intellectual backwardness. Quite the contrary, it was technology that made writing unnecessary. By means of the cheap cassette recorders that are ubiquitous in Somalia, gabays are recorded, copied, and widely circulated from hand to hand or sold in market stalls. The cassette overcomes most of the limitations of oral culture. It's transmissible, storable, reducible, and so forth. And what's most important, it's a form that's universally accessible. Unlike a newspaper, say, it can't be controlled or closed down by the party in power. With the introduction of the cassette recorder, in fact, the gabay has become an even more versatile form than ever before through a kind of chaining process. One person writes a gabay, and another person adds a commentary or response that follows the same alliterative pattern. Ultimately, a set of cassettes may contain 30 or 40 poems on a single topic. Antonucci tells me that when he visits his Somali intellectual friends, he sees rows of cassettes on their shelves, along with books in English and Italian. The irony in all this is that Western diplomats and observers who are trying to get a handle on the political situation in Somalia tend to pay attention only to newspapers and written statements. Whereas Somalis refer to such statements as mere paper, using a word that also refers to excrement. Only when a leader puts his views in the form of an oral gabay does it carry any moral obligation. And this may be part of the reason why Western policy in Somalia has suffered from so many miscalculations and underestimations. We've been watching, but not listening.
Jeff Nunberg is a linguist associated with Stanford University. He's now working in France. Our thanks to Francesco Antonucci for providing the goodbye tape that we heard.